and this is your daughter. And so we ask that you'd release your Holy Spirit in and through both, delivering your truth, changing our lives through the personality of Jamie that you have made. So we deliberately take a moment here to yield our minds, our wills, our emotions, even our bodies to you, to what you have to say to us. Bless and empower Jamie through your Spirit in these minutes, we pray, to your glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Good morning. So, if you know me, I'll probably end up crying at some point. So thank you to all my friends who came and supported me. All right. So Ruth is a book with many layers to explore. It's a book of beauty, redemption, and grace in the midst of everyday living. Today I want to take us on a little adventure to see the similarities Ruth may have with our own lives, and from that place receive a glimpse of how it can teach us to see God in our own everyday lives. First, I want to start off with a little Cliff Notes version of the book of Ruth. The book actually begins talking about a woman named Naomi. Her family lives in Israel during a period when there is a famine. At this time, her family consists of a husband and two sons. They leave Israel and move to the land of Moab. In this place, her sons marry two Moabite women. After some time, both her sons and her husband die. Naomi is left with her two daughter-in-laws in a strange land. The passage we read today shows the discussion they had about returning to Israel. Ruth decides to go with Naomi, and the other daughter-in-law, Orpah, returns home. Our passage didn't finish the story for us, but when Ruth arrives in Israel, she begins working in the fields, collecting leftover sheaves. The Book of Lamentations lets us know that this is a measure God put in place to help make sure poor people had enough food to eat. While Ruth is working in the fields, she catches the eye of the owner of the fields and wins his favor. With a little matchmaking help from Naomi, Ruth asks Boaz, the owner of the field, to marry her. Boaz says yes, but there are some legal matters that need to be taken care of first. In the passing of a shoe, these legal matters are taken care of, and Ruth and Boaz are free to marry. Ruth has been redeemed by Boaz, and they end up getting married and having a son. This son legally carries on the name of Ruth's husband, and the story ends with Naomi gratefully thanking the Lord for redeeming that which she had lost in the first place. So it's a sweet story, and it's easy to enjoy just for surface-level reading, but so much more has happened, and it's beautiful to see. So for this time, I'd like us to stop and think of a telescopic camera lens. With it, you can zoom out and see the big picture, or you can zoom in and look closely at specific details. Throughout the rest of this time, we're going to be zooming in and out to see the whole picture over time and zooming back in to see the specific details laid out for us in this book. So we're going to start with zooming in. It's easy to read the Bible and just pretend like it's a pretend story or a play. The author knows where it's heading, and so the characters and situations are pre-programmed to act in a certain way. But we must remember these are real people. They only have 24 hours in a day, just like we do. And they have emotions, feelings, dreams, hopes, and disappointments. As we zoom in, we will see and remember that this is true. And once again, as we move along, we must remember they do not know the end of the story. So we'll start with Naomi. She's a Jewish woman who leaves her entire world to move with her husband to another land. We have no idea if this was agreeable to her or if she followed along dutifully. All we do know is that when she returns home, she feels afflicted by the Lord, and it has left her bitter. So bitter, she wants to change her name and be known by a new name, Mara, which means bitterness, instead of by her given name, Naomi, which means pleasant and beautiful. Naomi has experienced death, disappointment, and loss. Loss of home, loss of property, loss of community, and loss of family. She is a wanderer. In some ways, as we go through this story, we see that Naomi has become blinded by her circumstances, because when she talks to her friend, she states that she returns home empty-handed, even though she brings along a daughter-in-law who pledges her love to her. As we read, Ruth said, Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. So a change has taken place in Naomi. Because of her circumstances, she no longer sees herself for who she is or who she's been to others. Despite this, her abiding character has left a mark on Ruth, so much so that we have Ruth now willing to follow her wherever she goes. Now that we all go through seasons of joy, hope, strong belief in the Lord, but we also go through seasons of loss and disappointment like Naomi. Oftentimes, we don't allow ourselves a space to grieve and doubt like Naomi did because we are afraid it will diminish who and what God has been in our own lives and that it'll have a negative effect on others. But what I have found in my own life, and as I see in this story, there is a weight to his glory. The Jewish word for glory is kabod, which means the weight, greatness, eminence, and power and authority of God. When God is the author of change in our lives, those things remain solid and do not disappear or diminish based on the roller coaster emotions we find ourselves in. We see that Naomi has been a great delight and joy to her former community and even to her daughters-in-law. And the weight of glory that has been planted in her has not disappeared or diminished in the darkness of her moment. If you find your heart in a state similar to Naomi, pray that you can find comfort in the fact that our God gives us the space to grieve and sort through our emotions, and it does not diminish the investments we have made into the hearts of others. In fact, God can use the very people you've ministered to end up ministering to your heart. So that brings us to the next person, which is Ruth, who is also a real woman. Sorry, this stuff is things I've lived and walked out, so that's why I'm crying. So she has experienced the loss of her husband, and she has no children to her name. In the time period she lives in, this was a woman's identity and how she measures up. We don't know how long her marriage lasted, but we do know that it did not produce any children. She has now left everything she has known her entire life to follow her despondent mother-in-law because somewhere in the time they knew each other, she got a taste for this God, the God of Israel, and she is willing to abandon everything for it. She comes to a place where she could easily experience lifelong rejection because she is from the Moabite tribe. Deuteronomy 23 gives us a glimpse of the status of Israelite-Moabite relationships. No Ammonite or Moabite may enter the Lord's assembly. None of their descendants, even to the 10th generation, may enter the Lord's assembly. This is because they did not meet you with food and water on the journey after you came out of Egypt, and because Balaam, son of Beor, was hired to curse you. Never seek their peace or prosperity as long as you live. Ruth freely chose to put herself in an environment of rejection because of her love for God and Naomi, without any known benefit to herself. Because remember, she doesn't know the end of the story. Which brings us to our third individual, Boaz. He's a rich, successful businessman who also happens to be an older bachelor. As you watch him in this story, you begin to admire his character. It is obvious by his speech and his actions that he loves the Lord and that this love permeates every area of his life so that the choices and decisions he makes brings life to others. He ends up showing extreme favor to Ruth when she first arrived, though she is poor and a foreigner. In the end, he marries Ruth, a woman whose property he redeems, even though there's no known benefit to himself or his legacy, because the property will end up being passed along in his son's lineage. Boaz is willing to put his reputation, his respect in his community, and his business success on the line for a woman, a foreign woman. A Moabite. Why? Some of these things remain a mystery within the story itself. When we are zoomed in this closely, we have an inability to see the whole picture. But if we zoom out, so much more begins to unravel. In order to see the fuller picture, we have to zoom all the way to Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Jesus. Yes, that boring list of names actually hides great treasure. Aram, the father of Amnadab, Amnadab, the father of Nashan, Nashan, the father of Salmon, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. This just takes my breath away every time. Boaz's mother was Rahab, whose story can be found in the book of Joshua, and her name is also found in the Hebrews Hall of Fame for Faith. Hebrews 11:31 states, "Prompted by faith, Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed along with those who refused to believe and obey, because she received the spies in peace." Rahab the prostitute who risked her life to save the spies and was saved at the city of Jericho, her son, Boaz, becomes the husband of Ruth. This reveals so much as to why he's willing to take a foreigner as his wife and willing to protect her, love her, and bless her. Boaz is not only a real man, he's also a foreshadowing picture of Christ. People often comment that the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament can't be the same God, but they are missing out on these stories. Jesus came to reveal the heart of God to us, and as we look back through the Old Testament with this understanding given to us by Jesus, stories like Ruth and Rahab start making sense. We see God embracing foreigners, those rejected even by his own people, and adopting them gracefully into the family of God. Boaz is called a kinsman redeemer to Ruth. He redeemed her just like Jesus has redeemed us, and he gave her a brand new beginning. Boaz stopped to show the face of Christ to Ruth, even though he justifiably by the law had every right to turn away. Instead, Boaz stood up and provided protection for Ruth. He used the resources that God had given him to protect and defend the foreigner, the rejected, the one cast out, even by the people of God. As we look back at the story from the gospel today, we see once again that this representation shown by Boaz is an accurate representation of Jesus. Jesus healed the 10 lepers, people rejected by the community in which they lived. And we also see the one who came back to say thank you was the foreigner. God's grace, mercy, and salvation reaches out to all without discrimination. So we need to return to that boring genealogy. It continues. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. Ruth, once again, this foreigner who leaves everything for this unseen God, is the great-grandmother of King David, writer of many psalms. As we read in Psalm 113 this morning, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. It takes on a whole new depth of meaning, doesn't it? David probably heard these stories of his ancestors numerous times, and these stories laid a solid foundation for his love for God. So I want to stop a moment, take a small bunny trail to look at the idea of identity. As we look back at Rahab, I notice that the Bible describes her as Rahab the prostitute, even in the New Testament. If I were Rahab, I think I'd want that disclaimer to be dropped, wouldn't you? So many times we want to get rid of our past, the things we're ashamed of. But I was really inspired as I looked at the lives of these women and saw that they were not ashamed of their past. Ruth the Moabite, Rahab the prostitute. And isn't that exactly the reason we like them so much? One, because we can relate to their fallenness, and two, because of the beauty of who Christ is and what he can do with our lives shines so beautifully out of it. As I reflected on that, I saw two things. First, a trap that often occurs in the church is that we only let people see our good side, our holy side, and we often hide our darkness from each other because we are ashamed. Can I just tell you from personal experience that doing this is dangerous and downright spiritually deadly? We don't need to be ashamed of who we are or our struggles, because it's through our very weakness that our strength shines through, that his strength shines through. The second thing builds on that. Our past is not the end of our story either. Some of us are like David and have a genealogy of faith to look back on. But others of us are like Ruth and have nothing positive to look back on. But like Ruth, we too have a kinsman redeemer. Kinsman means that there's a relational connection. And what does Scripture say? Behold, what manner of love is this, that we should be called the children of God. When God adopts you into his family, you have a new heritage and a new start to your lineage, a beautiful start. Ruth got adopted in, and that weight of glory that we talked about earlier, it extends all the way to Jesus Christ. Ruth, the Moabite, the foreigner, the rejected, was embraced in such a way that she had the privilege of being written into the earthly genealogy of Jesus Christ. So I have a little handout for you all that my husband's going to hand out. They're just little name tags. You don't have to fill this out now. This is for you to take home. But they're name cards. They say, hello, my name is. And then in your own time, you can write your name and whatever personal struggle that you might be going through in your own life that you think defines you. And then I hand wrote in case you'd forget that you're a child of God. So that's just your reminder to take with you today. So the questions are, who are you? What is your story of redemption? And do you know that you have been written into the genealogy of Jesus Christ? So I stand on my bunny trail. So finally we return to Naomi. We last left her in a place of bitterness and desolation. Her heart was broken and all hope was gone. But our story closes with this. The town women said to Naomi, blessed be God, he didn't leave you without family to carry on your life. May this baby grow up to be famous in Israel. He'll make you young again. He'll take care of you in old age. And this daughter-in-law who has brought him into the world and loves you so much, why, she's worth more to you than seven sons. Naomi took the baby and held him in her arms, cuddling him, cooing over him, and waiting on him hand and foot. The neighborhood women started calling him Naomi's baby boy. Naomi's hands are no longer empty. They have been filled. So we have zoomed out to look at their full story, but now we need to zoom back in and look at our own lives. We're real people. We have 24 hours in our day. We have joys and we have sorrows, and today probably all of us are in a different spot in our story. I hope that you leave today with a renewed sense of the weight of his glory. It seeps in and through each of our lives, within the good times and within the bad. Many times we're so zoomed in to our today that we cannot fathom that there is a bigger picture taking place. But there is. The story of Ruth is the framework for all of our lives. The last chapter for all of us has been written. We have a kinsman redeemer who will take our pain, our loss, and our brokenness and redeem it. We'll not end our story empty-handed like Naomi felt in chapter 1, but our story ends in fullness. Because of that truth, as we walk along the way, we can be courageous like Ruth and go into uncomfortable places, trusting and believing God will take care of us. And we can be like Boaz, the face and character of Christ to those we meet, to those who feel rejected and alone. You can walk confidently knowing that you have been adopted into the lineage of Jesus Christ and that Ruth is a part of your new lineage. And just like it provided a foundation for King David's life, it provides a foundation for all of our lives. So we can pray with confidence and live in confidence of Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? The one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down on the heavens and the earth. He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. So I want to finish this time with a quote from Frederick Buechner from Listening to Your Life. Listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery that it is. In the boredom and pain of it, no less than in the excitement and gladness. Touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it. Because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments, and life itself is grace.